that too loud? Test 1, 2. Okay. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha. Oh Rav Simcha. Shabbat Menicha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha. Shabbat Menicha. Shabbat Menicha. This day for Yisrael. This day for Yisrael. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. The Sabbath of Israel. This day for Yisrael, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of Israel.
Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom. I can, as you can see, those of you who watch us regularly, I'm missing my better half, so I brought my guitar out today. Isn't she pretty?
Yeah.
Isn't she pretty? She's my beauty, my other beauty. And it sounds better with the keyboard, but Dawn had an aviation appointment she couldn't miss today, so we're doing it without her. But I'm going to turn it. Well, let's do the blessing of the Messiah. Would you like to lead us, Wendell or Diane?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et de rech ha-yeshua HaMashiach Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua, Amen.
Ma
tovu, O Mishkenoteka Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacle.
In thy great compassion, we will
come into your house. There I will bow. There I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell. In the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru, page 45. Okay. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei 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 Yisrael,
b'nei
Yisrael, hodhi li'olam. B'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, shamayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Let's do pray for Jerusalem.
Pray
for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem.
Come on, guys, sing it with us.
These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Wendell, would you lead us? Would you like to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Messianic community and the Jewish people in America?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for Israel and Jerusalem this morning, your holy city, your chosen holy city, God. God, we pray, God, that you would put a hedge of protection around them and keep her, Lord. Keep her safe from attacks of the enemy. Keep her safe, all of your people in Israel, Lord, safe from attacks of the enemy, Lord. Turn the missiles, turn the knives, wreck the cars before they get there, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Lord, and we pray for the rabbis in the United States, God. We pray for the leaders of the Jewish people in the U.S., God. We pray, God, that you would protect them also and keep them, Lord, and let them be obedient to your word and what you've called them to do, Lord. And help us as Gentiles, Lord. Stand with them, Lord, and show them that we love them also, God. God, that we might, Lord, partake of what you have in store for them, Lord, that we can be a part, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord, that you would remove the veil from their eyes and here and in Israel, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that just as you did it for me and for many other Jewish people, that you would do it for them as well, Lord. That you pursued me, Lord, and I pray that you would pursue them in the name of Yeshua. And I pray for my mom, Lord, as she's just declining in these last few weeks, Lord. I just pray that she would pray and ask who Yeshua, who Jesus of Nazareth is. Pray to you, Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that she would pray and ask you, who is Jesus of Nazareth, and that you would reveal yourself to her, Lord. In Yeshua's name, help her in her distress.
Manavu aharim bagaleha mivaseh. Manavu aharim bagaleha mivaseh. Mashamiya Yeshua, Mashamiya Shalom, Mashamiya, Yeshua, Mashamiya, Shalom. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him bringing good news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him bringing good news. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua, proclaim to Zion, Shalom. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua, proclaim to Zion, Shalom.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Could y'all sing Avinu Malkeinu with me a cappella? You want to start it?
I need to find it.
All right, you all start it. Avihinu,
Malkeinu,
Malkeinu,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so.
You sent your son.
Oh,
let's stop him. Avinu, Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hands.
You loved us so.
You loved us so.
You sent your son
to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. One more time. Avinu,
Malkeinu,
maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hands.
You loved us so.
You sent your son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. One more time. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all rise for the Shema, please. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher enochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'vetecha, v'lechtecha v'aderech, ובשח בחל, ובקומך, וכשרתם, להיות על ידך, והיה לתותפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם, על מזוזות ביתך, ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
You can be seated for a moment. Do we have a song for a Torah processional? You do? Okay. So I'm going to ask Wendell and Bill if you would carry the Torah, and David, if you would come and open the ark for us. And... And Wendell, you know what to do. Instead of laying it down, just sit with it during. Yeah, thank you. Please rise again. Now let's do. I guess we're gonna do Micha Mocha. You ever seen the VeggieTales, the pirates, you know, pirates who don't do anything? I'm the rabbi who does everything.
Micha Mocha, Be'elim Adonai. Oh, say.
To that is Ein Kamocha Be'elim Adonai, Ein Kemasecha, Malchutcha Malchut Ko Olamim, Uim Sheltecha Bechol Dor Vador, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai Oziamo Yitain, Adonai Yavarech Et Amo Bashalom. Diane?
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Okay. Vayehi ben so Aharon, vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, viafutsu oivecha, vianusu misanecha, mipanecha, ki mitzion tetse Torah, ki mitzion tetse Torah, udevar Adonai, miyerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Yamo Yisrael, Pidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who is in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have a song. Keep processing, right? We do have a song.
Hine matovu manayim shevet chagim kam yahad. Hine matovu manayim shevet chagim kam yahad.
Hine matovu shevet chagim kam yahad. Hine matovu Shevet Chaim Kam Yahad.
Hine Matovu Manayim
Shevet Chaim Kam Yahad. Hine Matov Shabayim Kehet Chaim Kam Yahad. Hine Matov Shevet Chaim Kam Yahad. Hine matom shevet chagim kam yahad.
Hallelujah.
Let's play it.
It might be plugged into the wrong thing, Carol. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's take a moment and greet one another. Hallelujah. Gentlemen, please be seated. Shabbat Shalom, folks watching online. Welcome to our Yehuda Messianic congregation. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we're glad you're here with us today. Those of you who are watching, we have a great message for you, I believe, from the Lord, if about Shavuot and kind of an overview of the high points of the feast to get us started with the festival season of Shavuot, of Pentecost. So, and we're glad you're here today. We're glad, folks, you're all here today. Do we have any first-timers here today? Young lady, blonde hair, you're a first-timer, aren't you? Amen. What's your name, honey? And where are you from? Well, praise God. All the way from Creston, North Carolina. Let's give up for Maria Williams. Amen. Would somebody mind closing the front door? It's open for Elijah. And he might just come in, so we want to be careful there. And it's good to have the Coreys with us today. Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for Kevin and his lovely wife. Good to see you. You still got the vineyard? Yes and no. Okay, we'll find out later. I hope that's a good thing. All right. Praise God. Well, it's good to see you. Welcome back. And there's Margaret. How are you today, Margaret? You doing okay, honey? All right. Well, let's hope by the end you're doing better. Amen? All right. Well, let's get back to the service here. Anthony's not with us and Don's not with us, so I'm picking up triple duty today. Ya'amod Yosef ben Aharon l'Torah Baruchu et Adonai ha'levorach
Baruch Adonai
ha'beram va'ed. Baruch Adonai ha'roch yolam va'ed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. Ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai notein ha'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord,
our God, King of the universe. Who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Amen. And since I am your Torah, I'm your Torah man. You guys want to... No. I got it over there. It's okay. You stay. Just hang in there, Wendell. I'll let you know. Can you turn two, buckle my shoe, 3, 4, shut the door. Okay. All right. Let's put my baguette bag back in its place. Praise God. Okay. Well, today's Torah portion is, let's see. It's called, probably be better, Shemini. Everybody say Shemini. Shemini means the eighth. And what it's referring to is the eighth day of the dedication of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Okay? Today's Torah portion is Shemini, and it's referring to the eighth day of the dedication of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it begins in Leviticus chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. So let's look there. Now, so what's going on here, and we can read in Leviticus 9. So it says on the eighth day, now it came about on the eighth day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. And then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a male goat as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering.
And it goes on to talk about the offerings. But the big thing that happens here in this chapter is where Nadab and Abihu, and first of all, we see, before we get to that, let's just say, verse 5, it says, "So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. Moses said, 'This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you.'" Now that's a really neat statement right there. God commanded to them to do, everybody say to do. To do certain things so that the glory of the Lord would appear. He didn't say to pray. He didn't say dance around in the spirit. He didn't say speak in tongues. He said, "These are the things you are to do that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." In the Bible, you know, and I wrote this the other day, I said there are many people who know the word and do it, and there are many others who study the word and argue it. Okay? There are many people who know the word, there are some people who know the word and do it, and there's many others who know it, study it, know it word for word, verbatim, and they'll argue it. Now, if you're out in the street in Boston or New York or Charlotte or Miami, you know, or Dallas, you're out in Houston, you're out in the streets, and you're preaching the gospel, and you've got, let's say you're out there with a group, and you've got 2 hours, okay? You've got 2 hours to share the gospel with as many people. Your goal is to pass out gospel tracts, and your goal is to get out as many tracts, not to stop and have conversation, okay? You've got, let's say you've got a subway coming at you every 5 minutes, and it's rush hour, and you've got 200 people coming at you every 3 minutes, and your goal is to get as many seeds out, okay? You're planting seeds. You're not there for conversation. You've got people rushing by you. Your goal is to get a gospel tract in their hands so that on their way to work or on their coffee break, they'll read about the gospel, amen? But then some guy comes up to you, and he gets in your face, and he says, "So, do you think Jesus is really God?" And you know Jesus is God, right? You don't need to discuss it. And you say, "Yes, I do. I believe Yeshua. I believe Jesus is God. He's equal with God, right? He's the Son. He's God the Son. There's God the Father, and there's God the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen?" But he starts arguing with you, and he says, "Well, no, there's just Jesus. There is no Father. There is no Holy Spirit." And he starts getting into an argument about it, and he starts quoting scriptures, you know, and he starts pulling out verses in the Bible. Meanwhile, what's happening? Well, he's talking with you, and you're there to pass out literature, the message, the word, to thousands of people. Well, he's talking to you. What's happening? Distraction. Exactly. Missed opportunity. Exactly. That's what's happening. Hundreds of people who could have been getting the gospel, who could have been making the choice to take the gospel from you, aren't getting that chance. What do you do? That's the case of someone who knows the word and isn't uses it to argue versus someone who knows the word and uses it to do the word. Do you see the difference? Isn't that amazing? And so the person who's doing the word, using the word to do it, is winning souls, planting seeds, amen? I've met hundreds of people, I don't know, thousands, hundreds, who have gotten gospel tracts and it led them to the Lord. People have told me, I've heard testimonies of people, that somebody passed me a gospel tract. My rabbi was sitting on a beach. My first rabbi was sitting on a beach in Florida, and they passed him a gospel tract. Some guy came up to him, handed him a tract, shared a little bit about Jesus on the beach, and he got saved, and he ended up becoming a Messianic rabbi. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's all, you know, it started with a gospel tract, Wendell. Hallelujah. So, how do you get rid of somebody like that? When you're doing God's work, and you're doing God's work, now some, you may be doing God's work here, you may be in the kitchen, and somebody may be in there, you're trying to get a meal prepared, that's still God's work. You're feeding the God's people, right? And somebody who's not working comes down and starts talking your ear off. All right? You got work to do. You're trying to get the meal ready, and somebody's talking your ear off. What do? You're trapped. You're stuck in the kitchen. You're stuck in the kitchen, and somebody's talking your ear off, and what do you do about it? Well, you have a couple of choices. You can either just say something to them. You can say, excuse me, I'd love to talk right now. Or I'd love to talk right now, but I've got work to do. Would you mind if we talk later? That's one thing you could do. Or you could say, I've got to go to the bathroom. Would you excuse me? And I'll see you. I'll catch up with you later. And I'm going to go to the other building and then come back and maybe they'll be gone. Something like that. But if you're out in the streets, what do? And so what I would do, what we were taught is when we were passing out tracts and a Jehovah's Witness would come up to us or somebody and start arguing the word with us, was to drop our tracts. Take a stack of 100 with a rubber band around it, of course, because you don't want to drop 100 tracts all over the place. With a rubber band nicely around it. Drop it on the ground, pick it up, and come back, take back the conversation. Say, it's really great been talking to you, but I got to go now. And you have a lovely day. And if that doesn't work, just say, listen, you're selling and I'm selling, and I'm not buying what you're selling. So why don't you go sell somewhere else? Amen? Amen? Nick, you've probably come across that on the road, with other salesmen. You can waste your time all day talking to another salesman you bump into on the road, and you don't have time, do you? Amen. Same principle. Okay, let's move on here. So there's people who know the word and are doers of the word, and there's people who know the word and like to argue about the word. Beware. Okay. And the glory, there's a prescription for the glory. There's a pattern to bring the glory, and that's important to know, because who raise your hand if you know what the pattern to bring the glory is today. If you know what the pattern to bring God's glory today in this, to bring the glory to His church, to His messianic community, if you know what the pattern is to bring the glory, raise your hand. I've shared it. Okay. Well, we'll get to it another time. All right. So that's something you got to think about. Okay, let's go on. Yeah. Bringing in people is good, but that is part of one of the commandments. We're commanded to share the gospel and make disciples. That's true, sweetheart. But but there's more to it, and I'm not going to get into it right now. That's a good answer. That's not the answer, but it's a good answer. We are supposed to do that. Amen. Let's go on here, because that's not my message for today. Moses then said to Aaron, come near. I want you to think about that. Think about what would bring in the glory. It's not a prayer. It's not a revival meeting. There's a prescription. There's something that we have to do to bring the glory. Okay? So then it says in verse 9, in verse 7, then Moses then said to Aaron, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make an atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Hallelujah. Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, the fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver and the sin offering. Then he offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. Then they handed the burnt offering to him in pieces. Wow, this is complicated. This is what God said to do to bring the glory in. It's a complicated. Everybody say it's complicated. Complicated. It's complicated. Okay, it's still complicated because we haven't figured it out yet. All right. Number 13, verse 3. They handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke and the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. And then it goes on with the grain offering. Now, let's go down. It says, now, verse 22 is kind of neat. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people, and he blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. That's the blessing that I believe it's in Luke 16, where Yeshua, or maybe it's the last chapter of Luke, where Yeshua is about to ascend, and he takes his disciples out to Bethany. Well, hold your place in Leviticus and go to Luke 20. Let's see. Actually, it would be before the Passover, so maybe it's Luke 16. Oh, heck, I don't know where it is. But anyway, it says he took his disciples out to Bethany, and just as he was about to ascend, he lifted his hands. Somebody can look that up, where Yeshua lifted his hands, and he blessed his disciples. He gave them the same blessing. It's the one I give you every week. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chonecha. He gave them the priestly blessing. Amen? And that's the only time a rabbi raises his hands and gives a blessing. And if somebody finds it in Luke, let me know. But let's go back to Leviticus 10, 9 and 10. So we're at the end of chapter 9, and it says in verse 20, 22 that Aaron blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting when they had come out and blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now here, so the glory began to fall. The glory fell. Fire of the Lord consumed the offering. The glory fell. People fell on their faces. How often do you fall on your face before God? You fall. Hello? I saw a lady in Chick-fil-A last week. She was 88 years old. She fell. Her face was all black. She tripped. I felt very bad for her, and I kind of suggested that she not do that job anymore, that she get a walker at 88 years old. I got my mother one at 90. I got her a four-wheel walker, and I said, you know, you want to keep your hips from breaking and, you know, stay out of trouble and keep your bones from breaking. You might, you know, I didn't tell her to do it, but I said, this is what I did for my mom. Hint, hint. Anyway, you know, she's a sweet lady. But what's the verse there? Amen. Luke 24 what? 50. Luke 24, 50. And say it again, and he took them.
And he led them out as far as Bethany.
And he lifted up his hands.
And he
blessed them. That's good enough right there. That's the Aaronic benediction. It's right there in the New Testament. Okay, let's go on to chapter 10. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord that consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, is it what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. His sons just died, and he kept his mouth shut. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, come forward, carry your relatives away in front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. So they came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Itamar, "Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes so that you will not die, and he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you." So they did according to the word of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the clean and the unclean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses." So what was the strange fire? I have always wondered about this. And what seems to be the answer here, it's possible they brought fire from another source, from outside. It's possible that they did that. But it seems as though they came in drunk. That's, you know, because God warns Aaron, says, "Make sure that you and your sons don't come in here drunk. Don't drink alcohol and come into my tabernacle and minister at my altar. Don't profane me. You know, don't make a mockery of me by coming in here drunk." Amen. And that's so the rabbis traditionally throughout history have interpreted that to be the reason. So in order to understand the phase strange fire, we must review the story in Leviticus in which it appears. The tabernacle had been erected, and Aaron was doing a lot of sacrificing, as we saw, per God's instructions. One day, two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, came along and offered incense with strange fire. The Hebrew word strange means unauthorized, foreign, or profane. God not only rejected their sacrifice, he found it so offensive that he consumed the two men with fire. After Nadab and Abihu were killed, Moses explained to Aaron why God had done such a harsh thing. Again, that refers to the alcohol. Or it could have been that the two men came into the tabernacle drunk. So it was either the incense was wrong, they used stuff from outside, or fire, they brought in strange fire from outside, or just because they were drunk and had disregard. Whatever it was, the men did to render offering profane, it was a sign of their disregard for the utter holiness of God and the need to honor and obey him in solemn and holy fear. Their carelessness and irreverence were their downfall. In judging Nadab and Abihu for their strange fire, God was making a point to all the other priests who would serve in his tabernacle and later in his temple, and to us as well. Since this was the first time sacrifices were being offered on the altar and Israel was getting to know the living God. Better, when Aaron's sons were disobedient and profane, God displayed his displeasure in no uncertain terms. God was not going to allow the disobedience of Aaron's sons to set a precedent for future disregard of his Torah. A similar story occurs in Acts chapter 5. You remember the story of Hananiah, and Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira. And that's in Acts chapter 5. And it's very similar. So let's just look at that and then we'll conclude. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira, I like that better, Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing in a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up and carried him out, and they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes." That was the price. Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole congregation and over all who heard these things. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Okay, let's stop there. So what's the lesson we learn from this here in the New Testament? A lot of people think, well, gee, there's I can do whatever I want. I can sleep around. I can get drunk. I can lie. I'm saved. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. It's not good. No, it's not a good practice to lie to the Holy Spirit, is it? Or to lie to. Well, when you tell a lie, you're not only lying to men, you're lying to God. When we as believers tell a lie, we're lying not only to men, but we're lying to God. Amen. And obviously, these two had conspired to lie together. They had sold, and now they didn't have to make the promise. Give the proceeds. What they had done, they'd promised, they said, "We're going to sell this piece of property and we're going to give the proceeds to you, to the apostles." And people were coming in and laying the proceeds. They were selling their homes and laying the proceeds of not just a tithe, they were laying the proceeds of their property at the feet of the apostles. Amen. But this couple sold it. I know somebody very close to me, happens to be my brother, and he owned my mother owned a building, and my brother had a business in the building, and my brother wasn't paying my mother rent. That's the way my father left it. He made my brother my brother's landlord, and my brother, for whatever reason, wasn't paying her what he owed her. So she decided she's going to sell the building. And he got her a buyer. And the buyer was going to pay her $600,000. But meanwhile, he was selling it for $800,000, keeping $200,000 for himself. And she found out. Well, God didn't strike him dead. He's not a believer. He could. God could have struck him dead. He didn't, because he lied to my mother. Not a good practice. Not a good thing to do. But he had to pay a different kind of price. I won't get into that. But, he paid a stiff price for what he did. And so the lesson here is God's holiness and his seriousness is just as much in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. Amen? And our obedience and reverence for God. And one thing I notice, some of you who grew up in high church, like the Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church, have a greater reverence for the altar. One time I was... I was doing praise and worship with Don, and it was great worship. We were really in the Spirit. It was time for communion. And you know what I did? Usually I'll come down and lead communion. But this day I was really in the Spirit, and I was playing the guitar or the bass, and I stayed up there, and somebody just walked up. I didn't ask them to, and they administered communion. I was mortified. I didn't ask this guy to minister communion. I didn't ask him. There's certain things. Okay, if you're in the kitchen and somebody's running ragged and they need help bringing the food out, that's one thing. You don't go up to God's holy altar and start messing with stuff when the man of God or the leader hasn't asked you to do it. Okay, I mean that's irreverence. That's irreverence. That's disrespect. And you need to teach parents, you need to teach your kids reverence for the altar, reverence, and not to run up here. This isn't a place to go running. This isn't a place to go playing and hiding and things like that. it's we need to have reverence for the altar of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, by the same token, the Lord says, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." God loves when the children worship. He loves when the children dance, when they accept the Lord. Most of the kids in our congregation, throughout the history of this congregation, most children have accepted the Lord here. Amen. Almost, I'd say 90% of the kids in our congregation have gotten saved right here in this congregation throughout our history. And many children in this room today have gotten saved here in this congregation. So praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for listening. Praise the Lord.
All rise for the closing of the Torah.
Can you lead it?
Bizu HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. It's Chaim Pli L'mazikim Ha B'tokheha Me'ushar D'racheha D'archei Noam B'chol nativotecha Shalom Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh, Chadesh Yameinu, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem.
Wisdom is the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. There it is. We were testing you. Tricky rabbi. Okay.
Is the offering next, Rabbi?
Announcements.
Announcements, okay.
Well, I just want to say, I don't have, do we have any, is there a list of announcements do you have? First of all, who could come on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night? I'd like to have a debriefing from Passover. No announcements. I've got a couple announcements. Thank you. I'd like to have a debriefing, and I don't want to do it today, from Passover, and just talk about how you think it went. First of all, I want to just say it was the most beautiful Passover, one of the most beautiful Passovers I've ever seen. It's really weird. Sometimes God, did God ever use something worldly to get you to do something spiritually? You know how Moses was an Egyptian, right? And he learned to be a son of a king and a priest and all those things from Egyptians. And his father was a Midianite. His father-in-law was a Midianite high priest. Moses was a high priest, right? Where do you think he learned high priestly duties? From his father-in-law. So he learned to be a king from his stepfather or step-grandfather. And he learned to be a high priest from his father-in-law. Amen? Pagans. Everybody say pagans. But he still learned, didn't he? Now, he didn't learn to do it the Jewish way, but he learned how to walk in the role. Amen? He watched. You know, if your dad's a ditch digger and you watch your dad dig ditches, you're going to learn how to dig ditches, right? I looked up a friend on Facebook I was in the first band with when I was 15. He's still playing the bass. I was a guitar player in the band. They kicked me out when I was 16, got somebody else. But he's still playing. And guess what? I am too. Except I'm just doing it for the Lord. He's doing it for Satan. All right? And, he looked like David Cassidy at a young, he was like a 15-year-old David Cassidy when I knew him. Now he looks like a beat-up Sylvester Al Pacino. I'm serious. I mean, I looked at his face on Facebook, and I thought, I can't even friend people like that, because if they saw what I post on my page, they're not going to like me. So I'm going to have to start a page for myself that's just kind of kids and, sports and, nice, fluffy stuff, so that I can at least interact with these people, that they will even, talk to me, so that I can say hello, because I've tried to friend people as a believer and as, with my beliefs and the things I post, and they won't even, people from my olden days won't even have anything to do with me. Anyway, what was I talking about? Passover debriefing. Thank you. Thank you. Where would I be without you, brother? So I like to have a Passover debriefing, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it next week. So maybe we'll just do it in 2 weeks. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. First of all, I want to thank you, all of you who helped. And Deborah let me know that I didn't thank her. I tried to thank everybody. I didn't have a list, and I couldn't see everybody. But Deborah, thank you. Let's all give a round for Deborah.
Praise the Lord.
I took some heat. So I want to thank Deborah. And I want to thank everybody that helped. And some are here and some are not here. But you know who you are. Amen? You know who you are. And thank you. God, it's more important that God knows what you did than man. Amen? We all worked hard. Amen. Some of us before and some of us during. Okay. It was a beautiful night. How many of you had a great time? I had fun. I mean, I don't always have fun. I had fun. People were taking pictures with me. I was going out. People I didn't even know were just, hey, can we get a picture with you, Rabbi? I'm like, sure. Taking pictures with people and they were all just people were having a nice time, and it went well. It moved, no glitches. It was uneventful, right? And it went smoothly. I liked having. Did you like that high tech stuff? All the lights and the two screens. Now, I was telling you the reason I was telling you about using worldly things. I was watching this documentary on Studio 54, which is the big disco from New York City in the 1970s. And I was watching a documentary about its success. And what I learned from the documentary was that it was totally hedonistic and bacchanalia. But what I also learned, besides the hedonism and the gross stuff that went on there, is that they would have theme parties. And they took this old theater and they would spend tens of thousands of dollars having theme parties. And they would like when Dolly Parton came to town, they brought in bales of hay and horses and livestock, and they had cowboy hats and they dressed up as cowboys and cowgirls and Western theme, amen, and celebrated Dolly Parton, and they did these themes for all these different of holidays, Valentine's Day, Halloween, whatever. You see what I'm saying? And so what the Lord spoke to me, I believe, was, Joe, don't skimp. Take everything you've raised, a few thousand dollars. Spend it. Get the sound system. Get those TV monitors. Rent that stage. Do it up. Get those lights around the room. That gym is plain. How many of you have been in that gym without the lights? It's plain, right? Nice gym. I mean, it's a nice gym for basketball. It's not a fancy ballroom, is it? It's a lovely gym. Love you folks over at the church at New Life, but it's we dressed it up with the banners and the lights, and the TV screens and you know the spotlights and everything. Amen. Yeah, there's a wasp up there. He may be Protestant, but he's not white. But but I'm bummed. Okay. Stay up there. All right. Don't start a nest, whatever you do. Yeah. He probably liked the smell. All right, let's move on. So it was a lovely evening and I want to have a debriefing about it. The offering was just it was about a half of a container. We raised about $5,000, and so if anybody wants to make a matching gift, you know, and toss in another $5,000, we'll send a container. It's possible. There were people in that room that night who could write checks for $50,000, $100,000, or even $1 million. There were people there who could write a check for $1 million, and it would be like you spending $15. Okay. And they didn't do it. So, but that's okay. God knows. God's in control. But you should know that there were people that could do that there. With that said, so let's move on. So I want to have, so maybe the week after next, we'll do a Passover debriefing on Saturday, on Shabbat. And we'll have own egg together, and we'll have a talk. Please write down your thoughts. Do it while it's fresh. If you have questions, if you know, especially you know about setup, things that you think about, that you, what went right, what didn't go right. Don't be negative. Be constructive, please. You know, just be constructive. If you have, you know, things that we didn't have enough help here, we needed this or that, blah blah blah. You know, write it down. And just jot it down. Think about it, please. And we'll get together. We'll plan a meeting, okay? what else? Miss Dawn has an interview for an airline. She's going to Dallas on Tuesday, and she'll be in Dallas Wednesday. So let's pray for her. She has an airline interview. And want to keep her in your prayers that she gets. She really wants this bad. She wants to get back. I've told her prophetically, she's going to be flying jets again. I've been saying it for 22 years, and I believe it's coming. And those of you who know me and know the story of the Exodus, and know why I've been saying it, you'll understand why this has to happen. If you've been around. Okay, and then there's a few other people that I want to pray for. There's people that watch us that have some need of prayer, and one of them is Deanna. Deanna used to come a lot, and she had eye surgery this week, so I just want to lift her up, and I want to thank you guys for your prayers for me and for Robin. I want to continue to pray for Robin. And I'm doing better. It seems like the enemy attacked the office stomachs this week. you know, just that's where we were getting attacked. And Robin didn't work all week long. And I've been struggling, you know, myself. But thank you for your prayers. God's been listening. And things have gotten a lot better, not completely, but a lot better for me. So let's pray for Robin and Deanna. And if there's anybody else associated with the congregation that you want to pray for, or your own immediate family, just raise your hand and let me know. Not your cousin Peggy's friend Bob. Any other immediate prayer requests? Amber? Oh, my.
She had a tumor and a cyst removed, and thank God the surgery went well. She's
at
NIH recovering, so just for her
recovery,
she'll be able to get back.
Your best friend had brain surgery. Wow. Okay. So we'll pray for that and anyone else. What's her name? Danielle. Abigail and Britt Daniel. Who's Britt Daniel?
My son.
Okay. Anything specific or just God knows?
Yeah, God knows.
All right. Okay, honey. I can't hear you, Ray. Roger at Abingdon Methodist has cancer. Adeline has cancer. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And also, my niece had a baby, and the baby's having trouble breathing. It's on antibiotics in NICU, and it's just a few days old, and has some kind of infection in his lungs. And his name is Chase Nolan. So we'll lift up Chase Nolan. Heavenly Father, we just want to bring these prayer requests before you. And we lift up Deanna. We just pray, Lord, for healing in her eye. We thank you for her friendship and her love. And we wouldn't have this building without Deanna, because she gave so much to the building fund that she's part of the reason that we have this building. And I just want to give thanks for her and pray that you remember her kindness and heal her, Lord. Heal Deanna. We pray for Danielle, and we pray, Lord, that you would heal her completely, heal her brain, heal the surgery. Nothing broken, nothing lost, Lord. Let it be we just pray for a good report and a complete recovery for Danielle. And I pray also for my friend Karen, who has the meningioblastoma thing in her brain, and she's scared and it's giving her headaches. I pray you take the headaches away from her, Lord. From my friend Karen in Australia has a tumor that's causing headaches, and please heal her, Lord. Dissolve that tumor. And Heavenly Father, we lift up Ray's friend Roger. Is that it? We pray for Roger. We pray that you heal him of cancer, Lord, and we pray for a miracle of healing, that you give the doctors the mind of Messiah. And we just pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work, a miracle for Roger. And we lift up Abigail and Brett, and you know their needs, Lord. We just pray for Margaret's children, Lord, and pray that you comfort Margaret, give her strength, Lord, and you know what the needs are, Lord. So we lift them up to you and ask that you would intervene. Hear the cry of a mother's heart, Lord. And Father, I want to lift up Chase Nolan, my great nephew, Chase Nolan, my great nephew, who's in NICU today with an infection in his lungs and difficulty breathing. I pray, Lord, that you would spare his life. And I pray that you would heal him. I also pray you'd bring his parents to their knees in concern for him, Lord, that you would bring them to their knees, who don't believe in God, who don't know you, and just as my own son Isaac wasn't thriving, he wasn't eating as a baby, and had to go into the incubator, and I was on my knees and in tears, crying out for Isaac, and you said to me, Joe, give him to me. He belongs to me. And I put him in your hands, and now look at Isaac today. He was such a tiny little thing. So thank you, Lord. You did it for Isaac. Do it for Chase Nolan. And bring his father and his mother to their knees in prayer and crying out to you, Lord. And all these things. And if I forgot anything, Lord, we lift it up to you. And anyone who's not here today, we pray for them. Pray for Robin, for healing in her stomach, Lord, for healing of her gut and her digestive tract. I thank you for healing me. Who?
Amber's friend.
Danielle. I prayed for Danielle. I did. Yeah. Thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. I think I prayed for it. Did I pray for it? Yeah, I did. Okay. But you can keep praying. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for Wendell just because. All right. Okay. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings this morning and praise the Lord. And do we have a song? Do we have a song? Let's get a song. Sing, or otherwise you're going to hear me sing a song. Sing a song. Sing out loud the whole day long. Let's be ready back there, okay, guys? Let's bring our offerings. Hallelujah.
You are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. Oh, you are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. And you are holy. There is none like you. You are worthy. More than I could ever do. And your glory, it fills the universe. And yet you have conceived. Thanksgiving and praise. Oh, you are glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. And awesome in your power and praise. Oh, you are glorious.
Okay. I think it's time for worship, right? So, Diane, would you lead us?
Okay.
Wendell, you want to come on up? Be our shofar man. And you should sing too. Let's give it up for Wendell. If we need you to, that's fine. We have any dancers in the house today?
We want to see your face on
Maria, Diana. You can go dance. Yeah. Let's go.
We want to see your face, Abba. And Father, though the enemies surround Jerusalem,
yeah.
Father, we ask that you would scatter them tonight.
Keep what? Blow it. Well, during the worship, blow it.
Scatter them by your might and by your glory, Lord. Father of life, scatter the enemy so all men might know that you are God. Father of might, rule in your majesty so all will know that you are Lord, that you are King. You rule and reign over everything.
Here you go, Wendell.
with you, Lord. Whatever's troubling you today, guys, go above the clouds. Say, Lord, take me above the clouds. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take me above the clouds today, Lord. Let me soar with you like an eagle. Let me soar with you. You're the great eagle in the sky, Lord. Hallelujah. Your word says the weary will stumble and fall, but you shall rise up on wings like eagles, Lord. Let us fly on the great eagle, Lord. Hallelujah. Take us above the clouds today, Lord. Those who are hurting, hallelujah. Those who are needy, thank you, Lord. Let's keep going.
Thank you.
me. Close your eyes and fall into me. Yeah. Come away with me. Come away with me. Close your eyes and fall into me. Yeah. I'll be your rock in times of need. Oh, I'll be your source of strength when you don't have anything, so trust in me. Come away with me. Come away with me. Close your eyes and fall into me. Yeah. Come away with me. Come away with me. Just close your eyes and fall into me. I'll catch you. Oh, you are the apple of my eye. Oh, I'll be your source of strength when you don't have anything, so trust in me. Trust in me. Oh, oh, oh. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. I long to touch your face.
This is our desire tonight, Lord. So once again, would you take the taste of the world out of our mouth and fill our hearts with your desire. So our desire would be yours, Lord, to honor you, to worship you, to be a light for your kingdom, Lord. So again we say, Father, do it again. Touch my heart so I worship you. Come on, saints. So I can worship you. Not ashamed. We say, Lord, unfailing love, Father. I thank you for life in this place. I thank you for life in Ybor City, Lord, that you would turn this city to you, Lord, that once again your name and your name alone will rule and reign here. Not the name of men, not the name of religion, but you alone. Cause life to flow. Cause life to flow. Cause your rain to fill this place again. Cause life to flow.
Wow, that was beautiful. Why don't we, I like that last song, so let's cue it up again for as we come to the Lord's table. And was that a beautiful song? We don't play it yet. I'll tell you when. But, we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, if you have some matzah or crackers or bread that you'd like to use, if you have some fruit of the vine, you want to join us as we go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. You can prepare that now, and we're gonna do the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna ask Maria and Amber, would you serve today? You're going, okay. We got child potty. Okay. All right. How about Diane? Why don't you come and serve?
Thank you, Lord. Let me pray. It's not quite yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the middle piece of bread at the Passover table, the afikomen, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. And on that same Passover night, which we celebrated last Saturday, today is the last day, the end, the Atzeret, the end of the feast, he took the cup after the meal at that Passover Seder, which I so often referred to in Luke 22. He took the cup taken after the meal, the third cup. We Jews call it the cup of redemption. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to invite all believers in Yeshua. If you believe that he is the Messiah, that he is your Redeemer, the Savior of your soul, forgave all your sins, and the one that you look to for strength and healing, the one that you look to for deliverance, for health and provision, the one that you praise and thank, the one he's our life, amen? He's our life. He really is. You know, we sometimes get caught up in the world and we forget. We get caught up and we're so busy, you know, and things. But he has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? He always brings us back to him. Kind of like that Seder plate. We start with salvation and we end up back at the cross. Amen. Remember that from Passover? We start with salvation. We don't start the cross on the Seder plate. We start with the karpos, with the salvation, with the new life. And then we go around the plate to bitterness, and we go down to sweetness, and then we go to the altar, to the cross. And then we go back to salvation and start all over again. Praise God. It's not that we're not getting saved all over again, but it's a cycle, you know. Life is a cycle of bitterness and sweetness, valleys and mountaintops, however you want to look at it. Amen? Just don't stay in the valley when God wants to bring you to the mountaintop. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, ladies, would you come? And I just want to, let's just bow our heads. If there's anybody here or anybody watching that doesn't know Yeshua, if you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. We actually have a camera watching you folks at home. We can see you. And no, I'm just kidding, really. We can't. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I am Jewish, but I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. He's probably watching you, but I'm not. God is, though. So if you don't know Yeshua today and you'd like to know him as your Savior, just raise your hand. If you're home, you can do it without me or Mark Zuckerberg. And pray this prayer with me, okay? If you'd like to ask Yeshua to be your Savior, let's just pray. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua of Nazareth to be my Savior, the Messiah. God, I've messed up. I've broken your laws. I have blown it every day in many ways. I need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. I need your love. Come into my heart. Take control. Take over my life. And make it beautiful. Forgive me, God. Put my name in your book of life. Forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it with your heart and God came into your heart and you feel the joy of the Lord and the peace of God coming over you, let us know. Drop us a line. Email us. Message us on Facebook for Zion's Sake Ministries or Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation. Message us and let us know. Private message us. Email us at our website, which is our email is on our website. And by the way, if you wanted to bring your gift, you don't have a congregation and you want a place to bring your gift, you can do that online as well at our website as securely. We won't know who you are. We won't know where you come from. We won't know anything about you. But if you want us to, let us know so we can receipt you. So praise the Lord. Well, ladies, are you ready? Okay. Folks, come as you're ready.
Once again, would you take the taste of the world out of our mouth and fill our hearts with your desire, so our desire would be yours, Lord, to honor you, to worship you, to be a light for your kingdom, Lord. So again we say,
just one more time, between you and the Lord, we say,
thank you for life in this place. I thank you for life in Ybor City. That you would turn this city to you, Lord.
I'll do it, honey.
That once again, your name and your name alone will rule and reign here. Not the name of men, not the name of religion, but you alone.
Hallelujah. You feel the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. L'chaim. To life. In Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Before we continue, Leah is sitting right there. And Leah was with us at the very beginning, almost maybe six to eight months, first year of this congregation. She was a part of it and left in 2003. Got in touch with me a few weeks ago, and here she is. So. Her back is hurting. I like to ask a few ladies to just go and lay hands. And somebody wants to take some anointing oil. I have some here. And we'll pray for her. If a couple ladies would gather around her. Her lower back is hurting. We'll just pray for healing. Carol. Thank you, Lord. It's good to have Leah back with us. Amen. Restoration. Let's praise the Lord for restoration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch her. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Go now. Go now. Now! Go now. Now! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. How you feeling? Better? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I really felt God was touching you. And Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If I can, just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, my neck from C4 to C7, every...
Can you come up and can we turn on Dance Dawn 1? Okay. I'll hold it for you.
Last September, I had an attack.
Mm-hmm.
It was after I gave a healing testimony from where God healed me from diabetes. God told me to be prepared for attack because I knew that was coming. And he attacked my neck. And for 3 months, I could barely move. C4 through C7, for whatever reason, was impinged. And my whole entire vertebrae, all this entire arm, this thumb, my shoulder blade, it was just shot. And then it moved down to my lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, a lot of people were praying for me just for healing on my neck to take the pain. I still suffer somewhat from some limitations with the right arm, but the pain has been gone, even though everything is still pinched. There's just no pain. But this week, I guess about Tuesday, I woke up and my back was just really hurting me, and my back had not ever hurt me. And so I kept rebuking it, and I kept praying over it and anointing my own self. And it never really got any worse until yesterday. It just like that. And all day long, I kept thinking, I knew, because, you know, Passover and everything and coming here and coming back, I knew there would be an attack of a physical limitation, because that's the only way he can attack me is physical limitation. And so I just thought it was interesting last night that I kept saying, Lord, I got to make it to you know, congregation. I've got to be here. And there's a purpose for me being here, and I don't exactly know what it is, but he didn't bring me back for no reason. And so I know that, you know, Satan wants to keep me away. About 3:00 this morning, I could barely roll out of bed. I woke up, and it was just terrible, and I said, Lord, just take this away enough so I could get here today. When I woke up at 6:00, it was real tight and stiff, but I could move. So here I am, and sitting there, whoever's hand was on my back, and it was right on the spot, I could feel that heat. And that's always, you know, a good sign of the Holy Spirit touching,
yeah,
is when you feel,
yeah,
the heat.
Yeah.
And I could feel that heat, and I could actually feel it releasing some of the tension,
mm-hmm,
and things that just pinched that. And then somebody touched my neck as well, right in the same spot I was, mm-hmm, having problems, and I felt the heat there too. So
praise God.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. God is good. God is still moving. Oh. And Rabbi's still stepping on plugs. All the time. Hallelujah. Ah, all right. Well, it's time for the word. And, you know, I was at the Passover, and a friend of mine was there, and his wife's a doctor. And I mentioned the things that I've been afflicted with in the last 7 years, and I talked to him on Monday or Tuesday. He called me. He said, my wife says you're a walking miracle. She couldn't believe that you're even alive, let alone standing up there and doing what you do, you know, and look as good as you did. And, you know, those are her words, not mine. But, you know, she was amazed. And she knows me. I mean, she knows, but I guess it just hit her, you know. So praise the Lord. I thank you guys for your prayers and leading this congregation. Is I get a lot, you know, I'm the spearhead, you know, that gets the full frontal attack, Don and I, and But we've learned to endure, amen, and persevere, and praise God. All right, so let's pray for the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and thank you for this message, Lord. I ask that you would just anoint me, empty me of Joe, and just fill me with your word and your Ruach HaKodesh. Lord, anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you have for us today as we prepare for Shavuot, for Pentecost. And Lord, I pray that you would just bind the enemy, bind the strong man. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's start in Acts chapter 2. If you have a Bible, when the day of Pentecost had come, I want to welcome the folks on Facebook. Today's message is seven things you might not know about Shavuot. Seven things that you might not know about Shavuot. I have a hunch some of you know more than one of those things, and some of you don't. Amen? And I have a hunch that some folks watching don't know some, and some folks do. But I can't tell who knows, you know. I'm not Karnak, you know. Who remembers Karnak? Carolyn and Leah and a few other people. Karnak was Johnny Carson used to do this. He used to put on this big, you know, I don't know what you call that, Houdini, turban. Yeah, he put on a turban and pretended to be Karnak, the all-knowing, you know. It was kind of pretty funny stuff. You can look up Karnak up on YouTube. Anyway, let's go. It's the day of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred and the crowd came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language, they were amazed and astonished. Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Now let me just stop there for a second. You may not know this, but that's like, if you think about what the people in Alexandria, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Falls Church, what's another town up there? Alexandria, Falls Church, Reston. What do they think about folks down in Bristol and Abingdon? Bumpkins? Yeah, country bumpkins. That's right. Folks up in Alexandria, Falls Church, outside of Washington, D.C., in that part of Virginia, they look at folks down here in Buchanan County and Lebanon and Abingdon and Bristol what's that town out there where the bike trail is? Damascus and Conorock as country bumpkins, hicks, hillbillies, whatever they want to call it. That's the way they view you. And that's the way people from Jerusalem looked at Galileans. So there was a rabbi in the second century named Joe the Galilean. Everybody say Joe the Galilean. Joe the Galilean, and his name, they call him in Hebrew, it's Yossi, and that's the short name for Joe in Hebrew. Yossi, Yosef, my name is Yosef in Hebrew, and he was Joe the Galilean. And he was, well, where is he from? Galilee. So what do they think folks in Jerusalem thought about Joe the Galilean? He was a country bumpkin. He was a hick. He was a dummy. He was, you know, what's he doing here in the the big yeshiva in those days in the second century was Yavna, or the end of the first century was Yavna. That's where Yochanan ben Zakkai In 90 AD, after the destruction of the temple, 20 years after the destruction of the temple, Yochanan ben Zakkai decreed, he was the chief rabbi, he decreed that there will no longer be lamb served at Passover because the temple was destroyed and the sacrificial altar was torn down. That's where the decision was made, at Yavna. Your Bible will call it, most American Bibles call it Jamnia, but it's Yavna. And so the school where all the rabbis, were, the big rabbis were trained, was at Yavna. Everybody say Yavna. Yavna. So this guy, Joe the Galilean, went down to Yavna, and the two chief rabbis in around 130, I'd say probably around 130, 125 AD, were two guys, one guy named Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon, and the Haggadah for Passover. If you read most a traditional Jewish Haggadah, Rabbi Tarfon is quoted extensively. A lot of commentary from Rabbi Tarfon about Passover. He's very famous in Judaism, in the religion of Judaism. Rabbi Tarfon is very famous. Another rabbi that was a leader of the, there were two leaders at the school in those days, and the other one was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva proclaimed in 135 that a guy named Shimon Bar Kokhba, Simon son of the star, is what his name meant. Simon son of the star, Kokhba, Kokeb, Rabbi Kokeb means star. Kokeb is the star, Kokhba. And so he proclaimed that Bar Kokhba, he was this mighty man. He was a mighty warrior. He was a big, strong guy. He was a warrior. He was deadly. He was dangerous. And they proclaimed that he was the Messiah. And Akiva, the chief rabbi at the time, he proclaimed Bar Kokhba to be the Messiah. Unfortunately, he was wrong. And the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. And this time, they didn't just destroy Jerusalem again. They went and destroyed Galilee. Because a lot of these rabbis were from Galilee. There was a big big school going on up there in Galilee. There was a lot of Pharisees studying up there in Galilee. But anyway, this guy, Joe the Galilean, he was studying under Tarfon and under Rabbi Akiva. And so here we see the people in Jerusalem were astonished and amazed because these hillbillies, these hicks, who were not considered learned, who were not knowledgeable, and they're speaking foreign languages of all the peoples, and it blew them away. They were absolutely blown away that these country bumpkins were speaking languages from all over Asia Minor, and Europe, how is it that we each hear them, verse 8, in our own language to which we were born? So not only were they speaking languages that they didn't know, but they were, you know, the status of these people was like, you know, somebody who didn't graduate sixth grade speaking your language. I mean, that's how accentuated this is, okay? And these are the little things that we don't, if we don't have a Hebraic knowledge, we wouldn't get it. It would go right by us. You know, why does it point out these men are Galileans? Because they're bumpkins. They're hillbillies. We have a fifth grade education. And you know what? Today, they still make fun of them to this day. They call them, if you're from Tiberias, the main city in Galilee, they call them Tiberianis. Tiberianis. And they're considered to be idiots. You know, they're just like, they're guys that, you know, they're considered to be guys that work with shovels and you know, bricklayers and that's the way, you know, that's the way they think of them, as, you know, not, they don't think of them as brilliant men like Wendell. Brilliant businessmen, you know, chief executives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God for working men. Amen. Let's give a round of applause. I admire people who have a trade and have a skill, because that's something, it's a useful thing. And, you know, I've always admired people that could do electricians or plumbers or bricklayers or stonemasons. Anyway, let's move on. So, verse 9. So, how is it that we hear them in our own language, which were born Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes? Well, what's a proselyte? Is that something you eat to lose weight? Drink proselyte 6. Take it twice a day, and you're guaranteed 15 pounds in the first month. Now, what is a proselyte? Who can tell me? A convert, all right, or someone seeking, a seeker or a convert, not a Jew. These were people who weren't Jewish, proselytes in that time, back in the first century. These were people who were seeking to become Jews. What were they all doing in Crete? In verse 11, Cretans and Arabs. Arabs weren't Jews. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of mighty deeds of God, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." So some of them didn't believe the miracle. But what are all these people doing there in Acts 2? Why are they in Jerusalem? They weren't there for Yeshua, right? Was Yeshua there physically? No, he wasn't. Go back to Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. We're not going to finish this message today. We're just going to start it. It says in Acts 1, verse 9, he had given his disciples instructions. And then he said in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Yeshua who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. He'll come back just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Hallelujah. So Yeshua wasn't there physically, but he told him earlier, he said, "I must go, and if I go, I will send the Comforter." Amen? Didn't he say that? I think it was in John 14. He said, "I must go, but if I go, I will send the Comforter, and he will lead you into all truth." I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. So in order for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, to be given, the Ruach HaKodesh, Yeshua had to go. Remember what? There was a recipe to bring the glory in order in the tabernacle when they finished the tabernacle. There was a recipe. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't a. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't an offering. It was. They had to do something. To bring the glory. It actually involved an offering. But the point I'm making is that it was something they had to do. And one thing Yeshua had to do for the Holy Spirit to come is he had to leave. And what did John say before Yeshua? He said, "I must decrease so that he may increase." Amen? I must decrease. Not only did he have to decrease, he lost his head over the whole thing. Right? He had to die so that Yeshua could increase. Sometimes we have to go down. We have to go down. Everybody say we got to go down to go up. Sometimes you got to go down to go up. Amen? What was that song? The spinning wheel? How'd it go? Keeps on turning. What comes up, come down. Take the spinning wheel. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you got to go down to go up in the kingdom of God, folks. You got to humble yourselves. Amen? If you don't, God will humble you. If you don't go down, God will take you down. Amen? If you don't go down, God will take you down. You don't want that. Better to go down yourself. Better to humble yourself than to let God. Unfortunately, it's hard for us to humble ourselves. So mostly God does it. He works it to us, doesn't he? And but he has a loving way so that he gently does it with us. He's not overly harsh, except when you get a cancer diagnosis sometimes or things like that, or, you know, your experience, you know. I won't go into that. But, you know, sometimes it can be pretty scary. But hallelujah. God is always good. God is always good. Okay, so what were those people doing there? They weren't there for the apostles. They weren't there for Yeshua. They were there to celebrate Pentecost, Shavuot. Remember, we're 50 days out now. We're in Acts 2, right? And this is the holiday. Christians call it Pentecost. Let's go back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 15. Now, Pentecost, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek Pentecoste. And that means 50th as in 50 days, okay? Pentecoste, 50th as in 50 days. So that's the name the Greeks gave the holiday. But here's what it says in Leviticus 23. It says, "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering." Well, how many days is 7 Sabbaths? 49 days, right? 7 weeks. And what's one day plus one day is how many? 50. Pentecost Day, right? So the Jews call it Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, because it's 7 weeks from the Sabbath, the first Sabbath of Passover. Not the Sabbath. Now, mind you, last night was a high Sabbath, or 2 nights ago was a high Sabbath. It was the last night of the feast, okay? Was the last night of the beginning of the last day of the feast. It was a high Sabbath. I believe it was Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So when Passover starts, let's say Passover starts on a Tuesday, that's a Sabbath. Okay? So if Passover starts on a Tuesday, that's called a high Sabbath. Everybody say a high Sabbath. It's not the weekly Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath. Okay? It's a special Sabbath. But the sheaf of the wave offering, you were to bring in, it says, go back to verse 15, "You shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths." I take that to mean Friday night and Saturday. Okay? Why do I do that? Because Yeshua rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Hold your place there. Turn to Matthew 28. Hold your place in Leviticus. Turn to Matthew 28. Verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week..." So if the Sabbath is the 7th day, in Hebrew, Yom Echad is Sunday. It means the first day. That's the name for Sunday, Yom Echad. In Hebrew, Monday is Yom Sheni. That's the second day. In Hebrew, Tuesday is Yom Shlishi. Yom Shlishi. That's the third day. What's the fourth day? Anybody know? Well, Arba is 4, but I can't remember what they call the fourth day. But Yom Arba, I don't know. And then there's the fifth day, Yom Chamishi. Yom Shishi is the 6th day, and then Shabbat is the 7th day. Amen. So the Jews know when the first day is because they call Sunday day 1 of the week. Okay, so here we go. And when is the Sabbath? Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came and to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Yeshua, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." So they came on the first day of the week, and the tomb was empty. Amen? On Sunday. So go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 23. All right. "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath." What day in Matthew 28? What was the day after the Sabbath? Sunday, or Yom Echad, day one. Amen? Get you with me? Are y'all with me? Saturday's day seven, Sunday's day one. Okay? So there's a big argument in Judaism about this. Some folks count 50 days. They count 7 weeks from the... Remember I said there's a high Sabbath? If Passover starts on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, they count 7 weeks from that Tuesday. There's only a problem with that. Tuesday and Wednesday aren't Sabbaths, are they? Except maybe the first day of Passover. But the following Tuesday isn't a Sabbath, or the Tuesday after that, or the Monday, you know what I'm saying? Or 4 Mondays later, or 4 Tuesdays. That's not a Sabbath. So to me, I think it's talking about the weekly Sabbath. And you're to count 7 Sabbaths from the first Sabbath, and Friday night, Saturday of Passover. Count 7 weeks. So I would start counting from Saturday to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So let me hear. I have a calendar. I just happen to have a handy calendar right here. And let's see what it says. Okay. So we're March 30th was Erev Pesach. It began. So, all right. So the first Sabbath was the 31st of last week. That was the first Sabbath of Passover. Okay. So let's count 7 Sabbaths. So the 31st. Okay. Today is the first one. The 14th next week is the second. 21st is the third. 28th is the fourth. The 5th. Of May is the 5th Sabbath. The 12th of May is the 6th. And the 19th of May is the 7th Sabbath. And the day after that, and it says right here, interestingly, on the 20th of May, it says Shavuot, Pentecost, to the day after the 7th Sabbath. The calendar actually says it. It marks it in blue as Pentecost. And that's the way I count it. Some count it differently. They count it based on the high Sabbath. Okay. But that's not how I do it. Okay. And there's a big there's been a big battle. I'm in a rabbi's forum with like 200 rabbis on the internet, and they'll start arguing about this every year at this time of year. They'll start 100 posts arguing which way to count the 50 days. When do you start? And my simple answer is Saturday is the Sabbath. Count 7 Sabbaths to the day after, to Sunday, which the calendar says. And if the calendar's right? Come on. It's not fake calendars. Not like fake news. All right. "From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. Well, what was the wave offering? At Passover, the wave offering, it was the barley harvest. Okay? Everybody say the barley harvest. And so the barley harvest was very small. How many of you go out and buy barley bread? Raise your hand. When you go to the grocery store, you grab a loaf of barley bread. And fix your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or your tuna sandwiches on barley bread. Raise your hand if that's what you buy. Nobody. Okay. Well, the barley harvest is about is right now in Israel is the barley harvest, and it is a small harvest. Okay, and the high priest on the morrow after the Sabbath, last Sunday, everybody say last Sunday, on the morrow after our Seder, the next morning, he would bring the sheaf of the barley harvest, and it was to be an unleavened. Let's read on. It says, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. Now, if we go back a little bit to verse 10, it says, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Some say he would wave it in the sign of a cross. And the high priest would wave it before the Lord in the holy of outside the Holy of Holies, okay? And it says in verse 11, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb. Okay. Now, let's go on. Its grain offering shall then be two-tenths of, verse 13. Its grain offering shall then be two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord. That was the meat offering. Where does it say unleavened? Okay. The sheaf of the wave offering. We're in chapter 23 of Leviticus. That's, let's go back to, okay. Well, I'm not finding it, but the wave offering at Passover was unleavened. Okay? How do I know that? Turn to Leviticus 6, verse 14. Hold your place in Leviticus 23 and go back to Leviticus 6. How do I know that the first fruit offering, the wave offering, was unleavened? Leviticus 6 tells me so. In Leviticus 6, verse 14 through 18, says, now this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall present it before the Lord in front of the altar. One of them shall lift it up as a handful of fine flour of grain offering, with it oil and the incense that is in the grain offering. He shall offer it up and smoke on the altar as a soothing aroma, as a memorial offering to the Lord. What is left Aaron and his sons are to eat, it shall be eaten as unleavened cakes. Everybody says unleavened cakes. Unleavened cakes in a holy place, there to eat it in the court of the tent of meeting. It shall not be baked with leaven, no yeast. I have given it as their share for my offerings by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. So let's go back to Leviticus 23. So the wave offering at Passover, according to commandment, had to be unleavened. Capiche? All right, everybody with me on that? So the barley wave offering was unleavened. And so it probably may have been bigger than this, I don't know, but they baked a cake of unleavened bread and they waved it before the Lord as a wave offering on the morrow after the Sabbath. And now who does that wave offering represent? Well, let's see. It says verse 10 of, we're in chapter 23 now. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. So if Yeshua is the bread of life, right, and he's sinless, which leaven is equated with sin, And so you're bringing an unleavened offering, wave offering of grain, and he's the bread of life, and he's unleavened, and it's tomorrow after the Sabbath at Passover. Who does the sheaf now? Let me give you a hint. Let's go hold your place in Leviticus 23 and go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. If you don't know this, it's going to blow you away. God's going to blow you away. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So what is the wave offering? What is it? It's the first of the what? It's the first of the barley harvest, right? It's the first flour of the barley harvest baked into a cake of unleavened bread offered to the Lord by the high priest. Okay? It's the first fruit offering. Who is our first fruits? Yeshua. Paul just said it. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. By the way, the name of that Sunday during Passover is first fruits. It's the Feast of First Fruits. Amen? It's the third of eight holidays, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, is the third feast of the week of Passover. How awesome is that? And so the bread, who does it represent? Yeshua, right? One piece of unleavened barley bread, the first of the harvest, the first fruits, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Okay. So that's Yeshua. So now let's read on in verse 16. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath when you shall present a grain offering to the Lord, a new grain offering you shall bring in from your dwelling place, two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. So now we've come, what's 50 days? Where are we now? From Passover, the Sabbath at Passover, 50 days, what are we at? Pentecost. Shavuot. Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Pentecoste, Pentecostal. I always tell people the first Baptists were Jews. John the Baptist was a Jew. The first Pentecostals were Jews. And wherever I am, I always, you know, come up with, I always tell people that, you know, if I don't say even the first Pope was Jewish, Peter. That's what they say. The Lutherans. I don't go to many Lutheran churches. All right, let's go on. Okay, so verse 16: You shall count 50 days to the day after the Sabbath. You shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread. And I just happen to have here. Two loaves of bread. Okay? Let's read on. For a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah, they shall be of fine flour baked with leaven. Whoa, what's wrong with that? Didn't Leviticus 6 say the grain offering shall not have any leaven in it? Didn't we read that? But this one says here, this is an exception, these two loaves shall be baked of fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Okay, so here I get another piece of matzah because I broke the last one. I just broke another one. If this is Jesus, Yeshua, and it's a first fruit offering at Passover of barley. By the way, 50 days later is the beginning of the wheat harvest. When you go out and buy a loaf of bread, what's your bread made of usually? Wheat bread, right? Unless you're into, you know, you're buying some kind of 12 grain, 16 grain, You know, quinoa, what do you call that? What are some of those other flowers? Spelt. Rice flour, you know. But most Americans, most people in the world eat wheat bread, right? Except the gluten-free folks, okay? So 50 days later is the beginning of the wheat harvest. Wheat is much bigger. It's a much bigger harvest than the barley harvest. And God commanded Moses, and said, take two loaves of leavened bread, not like the one at Passover with the unleavened bread. Take two loaves of leavened bread as a wave offering. He says, with leaven as first fruits. Wait a sec. Didn't it just say in 1 Corinthians 15 that Yeshua is our first fruits from the dead? He is. From a different harvest. From a different harvest. So the priest on 50 days later on Pentecost Day on Shavuot, which is going to be May 20th, okay, will be Pentecost. That Sunday is Shavuot. The priest would take, and he'd wave the two loaves from a different harvest. So if this one represents Yeshua, unleavened, at Passover, barley, who does this one represent? Us. That's right. Who's us? The Dodgers and the Rams? The Dodgers and the Yankees? God's people? Jew and Gentile. Amen, Leah. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the Austria. Brother Jesse and I should have had loaves of bread in our hand when we used to dance to this. He used to love to dance with me to this. My friend Jesse Steins, he passed away, it was about 10, 11 years ago. In May, I think it was. Right around now. Anyway, praise the Lord. Jew and Gentile. And as a way, as a first fruits, as a resurrection offering. So if Christ rose from the dead on the morrow after the Sabbath at Passover, and this is 50 days later on Sunday, and it's a first fruit offering, and where's Yeshua at Pentecost? Seated at the right hand of God. Amen? And he left us alone and said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Bum, 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 bum. Love one another. Amen? Amen? And so this offering represents you and me. Now, Hebrews 10 tells us we've only been given, these things are a shadow of the heavenly things. We've been given, you know, tools, you know, shofar, you know, the lampstand, the prayer shawl. These things are tools, they're shadows. These holidays are shadows of heavenly things. But if you take away, okay. Am I making a shadow anywhere? My shadow's on the floor. I don't know if you can see my shadow. Here we go. See my shadow on this? Okay. If you take away the earthly thing, you have no picture of the heavenly thing, do you? Do you understand that? If you take away the earthly shadow, the thing that's casting the shadow, then you have no way of understanding the heavenly, do you? And that's what the church did. The church got rid of the Jewish, we were kicked out. You didn't do it, your pastor didn't do it, your papa didn't do it, your grandfather didn't do it. And it happened 1,700 years ago. We Jews were kicked out of the church. And we were the ones casting the shadow of the heavenly things. So new things were brought in, like Easter, which Paul didn't know. No, you know, I have yet to see a bunny rabbit lay an egg. I've been looking at them. My dog chases them. I've got a beagle. He's running after those bunny rabbits. I haven't seen one drop an egg yet. I'm waiting. I'm telling you, you know, I've been looking around my yard. There's bunny rabbits everywhere. Haven't seen an egg. Not yet. I'm still looking. But anyway, you know, what in tarnations does Easter have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Where is it in the Bible? And the one time it's mentioned in Acts chapter 10, I believe, it's the word in Greek is Pascha. Pascha, Passover. It's in the King James. You can look it up in Strong's Concordance or in the King James. I think it's in Acts 10. It talks about Easter. Look up Easter in the King James. And you look it up in the Greek, in your Strong's Concordance, and the word is Pascha. It's Passover. Yep. It doesn't exist. It's not in the Bible. God bless our friends who celebrate Easter. We love you, but it's just not there. You know, God loves you, and He loves that you're celebrating the resurrection with your heart. He's more interested in your heart than the fact that the holiday isn't in the Bible. Right. Amen? He's more interested in your heart, that you're worshiping Him with spirit. It would be better if you had truth. Remember the shadow? Let's turn that light on again. It would be better if you were worshiping with an earthly picture of heavenly things, because then you'd be more accurate, right? You'd be more accurate. When you take the shadow, the thing that casts the shadow, which is the Jew, when you take the Jew out and the Jewish teaching, the Hebraic teaching, right? That's like you're in outer space. You're floating around. Ooh, what are we going to celebrate next week? Let's call it Mountain Dew. We'll call it Mountain Dew Sunday. Ooh. You know, you make things up, right? People love to make things up. I've been to churches. They do some funky stuff. A lot of darkness out there too. A lot of these churches are like turning the lights out, you know, and it gets a little spooky. You know, they turn the lights out. I've been to a couple of those churches. That's a Catholic tradition. Where they, I think it's a Maundy Thursday or something, where they turn the lights out and they have this special, I forget what they call that service, but, you know, a lot of churches are going back to Rome. Oh, rabbi preaching. Yeah, a lot of churches are going back to Rome. Instead of going to Jerusalem, they're going back to Rome. Amen. Folks, we're all going. You have two choices. You can go the wrong way, which is Rome, or you can go the right way, which is Jerusalem, because Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. He's going to walk through the Eastern Gate and sit on His throne for 1,000 years on the throne of King David, a Jewish king. Hallelujah. The Jewish Messiah is not coming back to Rome. He's not a pope. He's not gonna come back to the Vatican. The Vatican is just a big old church. It's a church. Praise God. It's a holy place, but it's a church. It's not where the throne of the son of David, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to rule and reign. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And the nations will stream to His mountain, and the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. And I will call my house a house of prayer for all nations. Praise God. We're going back to Jerusalem. And this is about our resurrection. And this is about us. And God, and the priest was lifting us up to God and saying, Father, though they have some leaven in them, forgive them and accept them. And on Pentecost, he did. And you know what the recipe to revival was that I was telling you before? For the recipe for the glory to fall, Jew and Gentile, Jews from all those nations and proselytes coming together as one in the Messiah. Amen? That's the recipe. That's the offering. Father, accept the offering. That's the recipe for the glory to fall. And that's why there needs to be a messianic community. I'm going to just close with one last scripture, or two verses in John. Turn to John 10, verse 14. Some of you know this, but I've preached it in another context. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. Verse 14, John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. So Jesus, Yeshua, is in Jerusalem talking to some unknown quantity of Jewish disciples at feast time, probably Hanukkah. And he's up there, and it's probably in the 50s or 60s in the afternoon, and he's out there on the Mount of Olives or somewhere in Bethany, you know, and he's got his disciples all around him. You know, he's not in the temple probably because he'd be, you know, probably, you know, try to kill him, you know. So he's out around the city somewhere, and he's with his disciples in private on one of the hillsides, and he's telling them, he says to his Jewish disciples in verse 15, 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. They're not Jewish. But I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Well, does that mean they'll just that they'll just become the church? Well, let's go to John 17, 18. John 17. This is my last scripture for you. John 17, 18. This is beautiful. What does he mean by one? He says, sanctify them in the truth of your word. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. Now let me stop here for a second and ask you a question. The Father is in him and he's in the Father and we're in, and they're in us. Are you the Father? Is Jesus the Father? If he is, how can there be a Son? Amen? Is he the Holy Spirit? No. He says, I must go and send the Comforter. Holy Spirit's a separate person. Right? Capiche? We're Trinitarian, aren't we? We're not Jesus only people, are we here? Amen? We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit, right? Yeshua took off, he ascended, he said, I send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. Amen? Okay, so then he says, catch this, that they may all be one, even as you, Father. So what does he mean by one? He says, but if we are one, here's the recipe, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity, now here, listen here, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. Perfected in unity. One means unity. Somebody get happy. Thank you, Leah. Perfected in unity. Not one church. This is the first time in history when that Jewish group he was talking to on the hillside exists still, is back again. We've come back from the dead. after being kicked out of the church 1,700 years ago. And the church exists, the Gentile church. This is the first time when we can be perfected in unity. Amen? Amen. So the church is valid. The church is real. It's good. Even though there's paganism and there's things in the church that are not Hebraic or whatever, it's okay. Everybody say it's okay. Okay. It's okay with God. He loves them anyway. Now, does he love the ones who know better? And I mean, he loves them all anyway, but he's always tougher on the teachers who know stuff and don't feed the sheep right. Amen? But the flock, the sheep who don't know any better, you know, who are going to church, worshiping God with sincerity and truth, believing they're doing the best they can and worshiping and doing, you know, God loves those people. And they're in church, and there are millions of them, and they're in churches all over the place, and there's large numbers. But there needs to be a messianic community too. Why? So that we can be perfected in unity. And thank you for coming, because if you didn't come, there wouldn't be a messianic community. I'd say the messianic community is about 50-50 Jewish and non-Jewish. Maybe it's 60-40 non-Jewish and Jewish. Maybe it depends on the city. Here it's much more Christians coming than there are Jews. In other cities like Philadelphia, there's more Jews than there are non-Jews. Okay? But there's a need to be a messianic Jewish two loaves. The Jew represents the bridegroom. Remember Passover? And the Gentile and the Gentile represents the bride. We're role playing, a picture of heavenly things. Amen? Amen. And the two are perfected in unity. When we come together with the church, like we are with New Life, yes. Amen. That's the recipe for the glory to fall. Amen. Now I don't know how many churches and how many messianics have to come together for the glory to fall. I just know that's the recipe. Okay? So this is Yeshua, first fruits of the barley harvest, the matzah, and this is you and me.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay? And that is the story of the glory. The story of the glory. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Give him praise. That's the end of my message. Hallelujah. Now, so we've gone through about, two or three things out of my seven. Did you know all the things that I taught you? How many of you knew all of them? Raise your hands. Before I taught them. You all knew them all. You didn't. Okay. Unless somebody didn't know everything, because I could have just sat down. Please stand up. I want to bless you. Hope you got something today. Hope you caught something. Amen. And something good from God, not from Joe. Something good from God. Amen. Because I got a lot of bread up here, and if you didn't catch something good, I made a mess for nothing. I've got broken matzah back there, broken matzah out here. I got broken matzah everywhere. And the Lord said to Moses, next week we'll talk about the sheaves. And we'll talk, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk about the gifts. So amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. And before we depart, let me ask a question. Is there oneg today? There is oneg. There's lunch. So greet one another, and if somebody could help me, maybe Isaac, I need to take my stuff back into the car. You'll stick with me for a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Folks on Facebook, we love you. Shabbat Shalom.